Welcome to Unsquish the Fish, the podcast where bloggers, writers, and Fins fans come to talk everything Miami Dolphins and bask in the glow of aqua and orange. And now, for the host of Unsquish the Fish, Ron Caniff. Fins up.
All right, what's up, Dolphins fans? Another episode of Unsquish the Fish. This will be the Jets game in London preview show, and I got an awesome guest for this one, somebody right from the UK. Chris Kofaleski is here with me, and he is at the @FinTroopers Instagram and Twitter handles. What's going on, Chris?
I'm good, thanks, Ron. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, I'm great, man. Thank you for coming on. Just wanted to get into a little bit with you at first before we get into some of the game stuff, which, you know, hasn't been the most pleasant. And maybe
I was looking forward to it a little bit more, maybe like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly. 3 weeks ago, this was like, yes. Now absolutely. We're like, ugh.
It's right. We're still going to win.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. I have to say, I don't know if I share your enthusiasm, but I know you're going to the game for one.
I am.
Correct.
Yeah,
okay. So I'd like to ask you first, have you been to any of the other Dolphins games over in the Wembley Stadium before, or any football games over there?
Yeah, I mean, this is, I think, the 12th one that they've got at Wembley. We've been to all of them before. They originally brought the Dolphins over to play the Giants. That was the first one back in 2007. So went to that.
If I could stop you for a second, that's our 1-15 season.
Oh, yeah, that's when we had Cleo Lemon.
Yeah, that's right. That's interesting those parallels just keep coming up. But continue on.
No, that was a complete mud bowl. It was just pouring with rain.
I remember that now. It was like a really super low-scoring game or something.
Yeah, 13-10.
Yeah, I remember that.
But you know what? It was the first one that they had at Wembley. I had an absolute blast. It was a great day, actually, to, you know, have proper NFL in London. So I loved that, but then they sort of brought it back annually after that. So from 2007 onwards, bringing other games. But even before then, I managed to get out to Miami for the season opener against the Texans in 2003, which was a trip to go and watch them lose 21-20. Which was back in the days of Jay Fiedler and Chris Chambers and Ricky Williams, but never mind, we can gloss over that one.
Yeah, the Dolphins have never beat Houston, and we will play them again this year. We have yet to. It's the only team we haven't beat. Obviously, a little bit newer team, but
at the beginning of the season, I was chalking that one up as probably a win because I thought, you know, we need to get over the hump and beat the Texans, and we'll do it this year. But as I say, the way they've been playing this season so far, I'm not so sure. But then, yeah, going back to the Wembley games, I've been to all of them that they've brought over here. It's always a great day. They had Miami Oakland last year, which was great to actually go and just see them trounce.
We crushed them. That was a great
game. Yeah, it was great. That was a nice, comfortable win. And then they got three on the cards this year. There's Miami and the Jets. There's the Lions and the Chiefs. And then there's the Bills and the Jaguars. But so I'll go out and see all three of those. Yeah.
So you'll see all three. Do you have to buy like a package for that, or you just buy them individual games?
You can do either. So they sell a season ticket. I mean, the thing is, they're trying to obviously promote the sport over here with the aim to bring a franchise here. We can get into that later if you want to.
Yeah, actually, I did have some questions on that for you. Your thoughts on it? Yeah.
So you can tell that they're already ramping that up there. They're already sending out emails to people who are involved with NFL UK and who are on the forums, sort of gauging interest as to whether that people want to buy or invest in boxes to actually, you know, buy suites to go and see the games, and whether they'd buy, you know, season tickets, how much people would be willing to spend and invest in that, because they're building a new stadium. It's a soccer stadium, but it's going to be it's also going to have a retractable field, so it's going to be a purpose-built retractable field for American football, and they'll start holding games there as well as Wembley in 2018. So you can tell that it is ramping up to sort of try and promote a team over here and try and get people invested in a team. But we'll see whether that actually happens. The interest is definitely there. Wembley seems to constantly sell out. It is difficult getting tickets. Like the tickets for the Dolphins game, they went on sale in January. Mm-hmm. And they have an allocation that goes to you guys in the US, so American fans can come over here. But and then the rest of the tickets they sell off. You know, it's kind of through Ticketmaster. They sell it at 10 o'clock in the morning. By a few minutes past 10, you can't get tickets. It's the demand is there. It's huge.
How much are they going for? Or how much? I mean, I guess it depends on where. But yeah, like, for instance, what were your tickets running?
We got the tickets at the, which are sort of the Club Wembley. So they're like the better tickets.
Okay.
They were, I think, probably about equivalent of $180, something like that.
Okay, so like 110 pounds or 100 pounds,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, 110. But yeah, you could get other tickets. The lower, the sort of up in the top tiers, they're about £35. So we're looking at $50, something like that, up in the bleachers at the top.
Okay, so that's about what it costs in the US, pretty much.
Yeah, I think those tickets, the prices are probably set, you know, much in line with the NFL and what they charge.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, how did you become a football fan, a U.S. football fan, or American football fan, and then how did you become a Dolphins fan, being in the UK?
Dolphins, right. So it was probably back, I think the first one I can remember was buying John Madden 94 on Sega Genesis.
That's hilarious. That was like one of the first Maddens I played, too. One of the last ones I played, actually, as well.
Me and my brother used to play it all the time, and it was, I think back in the 90s, you've got the NFL was actually, you know, you could watch it on TV over here because it started getting quite popular in the 80s, you know, with the Dolphins and the Raiders and the 49ers. All those sort of old school teams are the ones who, you know, have big fan bases over here because of the fans who sort of grew up with it. So we sort of chose the Dolphins. We were watching the Dolphins, playing with the Dolphins on Madden. And then as you know, you get into getting more accessible with the team, so following the internet, getting American papers, getting whatever information you can. I think it's one of those sports you just kind of become addicted to. And it's because it's a game, you know, you watch a presentation, a broadcast on TV, mm-hmm. everything is stat-based, everybody's looking into every single little aspect of the game. And I think it's almost the same with some fans. They want to get as much information as they possibly can. So
okay.
People pulled it in from, you know, newspapers, TV programs, watching the games. Then when the internet hits, you can get all this information online. You can start streaming the games. And I just grew up with the Dolphins sort of towards the tail end of Marino's career. And
okay.
I'm stuck with it. And yeah, lifelong fan, I think, now.
So you must have been excited when they finally brought some games over and they brought the Dolphins over.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, that going out to Miami and watching that season opener in 2003 was a bit of a kick. But when they bring them over to Wembley, it was great. It was so much fun. Even that first loss in 2007, it was really good to see them live. When do you get the opportunity as a fan in this country to see them live? It's you don't really get that opportunity unless you spend a lot of money going over to the States. So last year when they brought them against the Raiders, that was great. That was awesome. And when they announced they were bringing them again for a second year running, we were all over it.
So if you had to take a guess this would just probably be your best guess, if you were going to take a poll of all the people in the UK that like American football, what percentage would you say are Dolphins fans? Would you say that's one of the more popular teams, or it's pretty spread out?
It is.
Everyone likes the Patriots because they keep winning, or what do you think?
Dolphins are definitely one of the most highly supported teams. I think they're probably, there was a poll on this on NFL UK, which I think we came in at number two or number three after the Patriots. And that's because I think if you asked 5 years ago, it would have been Dolphins were the top.
Yes.
Together with, you know, you've also got Dallas, you've got San Francisco. They were the more heavily supported teams, but then everyone sort of jumped on the Patriots bandwagon as new fans get into it, which is one of sort of my pet peeves with new fans coming into the game, that English fans seem to want to go with whoever's going to have the most success, and they'll jump on the Patriots bandwagon. But yeah, definitely the Dolphins are one of the most supported teams in England. Yeah.
Okay. I guess it makes sense about people jumping on the better teams, because I don't really watch soccer, but I've gotten a little bit more into it over time. Mm. But if I was going to start watching the Premier League, correct? If I have that correct?
Yeah.
If I was going to start watching because the soccer we have over here is, it's like, I mean, we have Major League Soccer, but really our Major League Soccer is like minor league for you guys. It's not great soccer compared to what you guys, I guess I would rather watch Chelsea or Man U or something like that. Over, I don't even, can't even really name any other teams, honestly.
Well, yeah, don't worry about it. I don't even like football, soccer, so.
You don't even pay attention to it yourself, huh? Okay.
But one of the things I kind of see is, I think you were talking about it on the last podcast, you were saying how sort of fickle Dolphins fans seem to be. We don't like the team, we're all down on the team. If we're winning, then we're okay. But I kind of get the feeling that's what fans are almost like, English fans with NFL, so the new ones, because they want to jump on the successful team. Mm-hmm. Because with soccer, there are so many different divisions and so many different cups and so many different trophies, I can't keep track of it. But, NFL, you've got one trophy at the end of the day, you've got 32 teams. You're going to pick a team and stick with it. So I think the diehard sort of long-term fans, they've got their teams set for life. New fans, they're obviously just taking into the sport, and they'll find a team eventually. But a lot of people seem to be jumping on New England.
Tell me a little bit. We were talking before the show. You were saying that you take tailgating for this game or to like a whole new level. So tell me a little bit about your guys' version of tailgating in the UK.
Yeah. You mean personally us as Finn Troopers or as the NFL over here in England in general?
Both. Yeah, I would like to hear both.
Okay, so yeah, it's actually being organised as a huge party on Saturday and Sunday. So bringing the NFL over to London is a really big event. I don't know if you heard that in past years they've also closed Regent Street, which is one of the biggest, busiest shopping streets. It's not even pedestrianized either. It's got car traffic on it, so they close it down on both ends, so there's no cars and just hundreds and thousands of people. I think they came up with some ridiculous figure last year that there was 1 million people that went through Regent Street last year, and the whole of Regent Street was packed with stages and exhibitions and trucks with all the Lombardi trophies and everything going on. And there's a big stage set up where they bring out the players on Saturday, interview all the players and coaches, and do a big sort of show for the fans that are there. This year, we're actually doing it for this game. Regent Street's going to be one of the later ones, but for this Dolphins game, they're putting it in Trafalgar Square, which is sort of in the city of London. A big square is going to be about 40,000 people. And they're doing the same thing. So they put out stage. I was looking at the list earlier. They've put on stage appearances with the coaches, Ryan Tannehill and Damakun Su, Ryan Fitzpatrick and Darrell Revis for the Jets. Who cares? But you've also got you've got Dolphins legends coming out. You've got Mark Clayton, Mark Duper, OJ McDuffie, Dan Marino was there last year. Joe Rose was there. Bob Greasy was there. It's such a great day, and so they build up all the excitement for the weekend. So that's Saturday night. There are various parties going on around London for everything, so we'll be getting involved with those as Finn Troopers. Sunday it starts early because the kickoff over here, for you guys, I think it's 9:30 in the morning Eastern, and so for us it's 2:30 in the afternoon. And before the game, I think tailgate's kicking off outside the stadium at 9:30 in the morning. So 9:30 in the morning, we want to go and get some beers. There's going to be the same sort of thing going on, big stages set up, big screens with NFL Network, doing all the highlights of all the games, bands playing, you name it, just everything promoting the NFL and sort of building up to the game. I think the slight difference with that is licensing and sort of health and safety over here is slightly different. So we can't actually get a whole load of people rolling up with trucks, wheeling out barbecues and crates of beer. But they've got to have stalls and everything selling food. So they've got all places set up for it. But
So you can't just have food trucks rolling up and
no, they've got they've got them there already. But it's not run by fans. It's run by actual catering restaurants and stuff, places who bring them. Doing all their smoked ribs and burgers and everything. So you still get that same sort of vibe, but it's not as sort of random as just people rolling up in trucks. But it's really well organized. It's always a great sort of build up to the game. So we'll be going both days. There's a group of us that run Finn Troopers, which is it's really sort of started as a fan club for Dolphins fans in the UK, but I guess with through social media, it's accessible to fans around the world. Really, sort of promoting the sport, promoting the team. It's showing that we have some diehard fans in this country. So we kind of all get together. We promote some party nights and stuff around London. We'll be doing some nights showing the games at venues around London. Hopefully, have some prizes and things to give out. So, for people who actually want to follow that, get involved, then they can follow us on Instagram and Twitter for sure.
All right, so the Finn Troopers I really like because I just like all the costumes and the Star Wars combo with the Miami Dolphins colors. I think is really cool. How did you really come up with all that and like how many people are involved and all that fun stuff?
Well, it's just we like Star Wars. Who doesn't like Star Wars? You see fans in America. They're taking it to a different level and supporting their team, but. Like I say, fans over here want to get involved in that, and we're some of them. It was great last year, actually. I was talking about the party that they have on the Saturday before the game. It's hosted by one of the guys who hosts the games on TV here in the UK, and he pointed us out in the crowd and was like, "Actually, I need to stop all this. There are some guys over there dressed in Miami Dolphins." He's a Dolphins fan.
Mm-hmm.
In Miami Dolphins and Star Wars stuff, and that's like the greatest thing I've ever seen. So it was it just brings fans together. Fans sort of recognize it. They see the effort that's going in. They see the enthusiasm for it. The way we started it, we were getting ready to go to one of the games. We started making all this stuff, promoting it. We like going out and showing that we support the team, and people seem to dig it. They're going for it. So there are four of us diehard Dolphins fans that actually sort of run it and make all the stuff and get out and try and organize these fan nights, these events. All got various careers outside of this, so we can sort of pull those together and put it together. All four of us will be there Saturday and Sunday for the game.
That's pretty awesome, man. And, we have our own group down here, the Deep End. All get together and everybody kind of has their own characters.
It was inspired sort of by that. You see those guys on TV, and you always see the gorillas on TV. There are fans out there, like I say, who want to do that, and we're definitely in that group. So hopefully, I was planning actually probably this year we were thinking about going out to the Dolphins Ravens game. Been in contact with those Deep End Miami guys, and they invited us to come and join them. So it's you get these groups of fans all over the world, I suppose, coming together and supporting the team.
Yeah, that's really awesome, man. It just sounds like a lot of fun over there. It's cool.
Yeah, it gives you something to do.
It's just cool to see the American football getting bigger in the UK. Now, I will ask you this. Do you enjoy just having – I mean, obviously, you're a Dolphins fan, so your dream would be to see every Dolphins game, but that's
– Absolutely.
The Dolphins aren't moving to the UK, at least for my sake. No. I hope not.
Please don't.
Yeah. But would you like to just see one team be up there, like a team just move to the UK in, let's say, 2018 when that stadium's done? Or do you prefer the kind of – myriad of different teams coming in and out, as opposed to just having a steady team there, eight games, and whoever they play is who you get to see.
Personally, I want just the variation because I'm not going to stop being a Dolphins fan. I'm not going to go to a Wembley game, instead of watching the Dolphins game, I'd probably rather stay and make sure I'm watching my team. So whenever they bring the Dolphins over, great, I can watch them live. But if it was setting up a London team and it was like the London whoever playing
the London Jags, I like that.
London Jags against, let's say, the Raiders. I'd be staying at home to watch the Dolphins. Thankfully, you can go to the stadium. You've got Wi-Fi. You can watch Game Pass. Game Pass over here works for us slightly differently. So
okay.
you can watch the games live rather than on demand later.
Oh, okay. So your Game Pass is kind of like our Sunday ticket. We have the NFL Sunday ticket where you watch live. Okay.
Even if I'm going away to watch a game, like for instance, you know, later in the season, Lions and Chiefs, if it's at the same time as the Dolphins game, which I can't remember if it is. I think the Texans game is that evening. I'll still be able to watch the Dolphins, but I'd prefer if they brought that variation over here because, you know, I'm never going to stop being a Dolphins fan to support a local team. It's just not really an option for us.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good to know that it's not a fair weather thing for you.
No, it's not.
All right. Well, it's been a wonderful 20 minutes of Kumbaya, but now we really need to, unfortunately or fortunately, get into the game here.
Obviously,
this season has gone horrible compared to what we thought it would go, and we're a punt return away from 0-3 right now, honestly, and that's just the truth.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I've got to admit, I was as pumped as you are before the season. I was listening to the podcast, and I bought into all the hype and everything. But I think one of the things that was most disappointing is that the hype, actually, there was some validity to it. You know, it wasn't just people spouting a whole load of rubbish. It was, you know, there were definite reasons for hope. You know, Tannehill showed great improvement, and Damacon Sue come to try and help us stop the run game, stop the run. I thought there were definite reasons for us to actually make big steps this year. So I'm in the same boat as you. I'm disappointed as to how we've started.
Yeah, but we were in the midst of all of our excitement, and you could still name off a lot of more big-time players on our team that we still feel are very talented. We were ignoring the things that we knew we had questions on. The linebacker core, which is really rearing its ugly head. Now we've got Akins at free safety replacing Delmas, and we thought that would be a smooth transition, and it hasn't.
They've all turned into complete liabilities.
Yeah, exactly. The other side, the other cornerbacks, specifically the other boundary on the other side of Grimes, thank you, with Bryce McCain being there. And that's just been a nightmare. I mean, a nightmare. And then on the offensive side, offensive line.
Yeah. You know, week one, Bryce McCain looked great. I mean, when he pulled down that interception, that was pretty impressive. But since then, it's just been absolutely abused, just been completely torched. That play last week, it was to Chris Hogan, wasn't it? Their 38-yard. I mean, I know that he was expecting some help. It was a single high safety. Walt Akins was there, supposed to give him some backup. But that was just – it's like they're not even talking to each other. It looks like the team hasn't even practiced.
No, there's no communication back there. Akins isn't communicating correctly. I couldn't even tell you who's playing middle linebacker right now for us. It just seems like a myriad of guys they keep putting in and out there. They don't know what they're doing with that. I mean,
yeah, they just put Shepard in there and wait for him to make mistakes. But I mean, it's the same problems. We haven't got any linebackers that can drop into coverage. So tight ends abuse us. You know, slot receivers absolutely abuse us. It's just it seems to be the same problem. So you know, they put Koemisi in middle linebacker last year, shifting back over to strong side linebacker, and he's. You know, it's just the same problems. They haven't fixed anything with the linebackers or O-line or anything. There's so many problems on this run.
Yeah,
I think you could have a week-long podcast just talking about the problems on this. But we'll get there.
Yeah, so we decided as fans, and I'm as guilty as anybody, maybe more, to kind of put aside what we thought and knew some of the problems would be because we figured the other stuff would help it so much.
Yeah.
Some of that other stuff that we thought was going to be so great, it hasn't turned out so well. I mean, the defensive line has to be the biggest disappointment in the NFL right now. There is no unit underperforming more on any team anywhere than that defensive line. I mean, there really isn't.
There isn't. And I think one of the things that sort of gets lost is when we actually lost Casey Rogers to go to the Jets as the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, you're right about
he'd,
that.
He'd always had a reputation of being one of the best D-line coaches. But what actually I find so difficult to believe is, you know, you've got talent on this D-line like Ndamukong Suh, you've got Cameron Wake, you know, you've got Olivier Vernon, who I think we've spoken about it before. What does he bring? He's not that consistent, but he can get pressure.
Yes.
You know, especially if someone like Cameron Wake and Sue are double teamed. But it's kind of like they've all forgotten how to play on the D-line. So even, you know, Casey Rogers could only have brought so much. It's what is causing these problems on the D-line. Why can we not get any pressure? It's just absolutely mind-boggling. I don't. And is there an answer out there? I don't know. I really don't know.
Well, the interesting part is that the coaching, every single team so far has gone a different approach to evade our D-line, and they've done it with just so much success, and Kevin Coyle has had no answer to go against that. So Washington did nothing but
cut blocks
and the quickest passing you can do. Cut block pass. Yeah. They played to stay in it. Had they realized the holes the Dolphins had, they might have changed their game plan a little and played to win, and probably would have. But instead, they didn't know this team. They were scared of this team, so they said, we're going to play to just keep it close. That's what they did. So then you've got, let's see, who we played next was Jacksonville. I mean, Jacksonville was able to just kind of just man up against our D-line. I mean, that's really what they did. They just manned up. I sat there and watched that center on multiple times block Sue one-on-one with success.
It's crazy when you look at sort of the quarterbacks going and how much time they have, what they're able to do. Even going back into last season when we were facing Buffalo, where we had Thad Lewis, you know, Geno Smith at the end of the season. You got Thad Lewis, Geno Smith this year, Cousins, you got Bortles, you got Taylor. And they've all looked like Pro Bowl quarterbacks. I think at the end of last season, Geno Smith had a perfect passer rating against us. Mm-hmm. You know, these problems just go back to last year.
The only one of the season from any quarterback.
Yeah.
Was Geno Smith last year. And then last week, Tyrod Taylor, he was throwing passes 10 steps back and running out, doing a lot of bootlegs.
Absolutely.
So each time the offensive coordinator has schemed differently against our defensive coordinator, and he has been unable to scheme back into, okay, if they're going to do this, then we should do that. Horrible. Yeah. Absolutely, positively horrible coaching from Kevin Coyle. And then on the other side, with Laser, I mean, I can tell you what play he's going to do next from my living room. And that is just not a lie. It is so plainly obvious everything they're going to do and how they're going to do it and what routes they're going to run. And it's so obvious. It's ridiculous. There's no creativity. There's no imagination. There's no invention in that offensive play calling right now. There just isn't. It's horrible. Then you marry that with an O-line that can't block anything, couldn't block their way out of a paper bag. And it's a recipe for disaster. That's what we have going right now. It really is.
And Brandon Albert, he was obviously rushed back to some extent, but you know, if he's going to be rushed back and you know he's not going to be 100%, you need somebody behind him. And Jason Fox just got abused last week as well. I mean, at least this week, sort of, you know, facing the Jets, they've got problems at guard as well. So we'll see if any sort of ounce of coaching can make our D-line get any pressure on Ryan Fitzpatrick. But there's problems, problems all over the place.
Yeah, so what do you see as some of the keys to this game coming in, to the Dolphins-Jets game? How do you see us trying to turn this around and trying to get just scrape out a victory somehow?
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see, I think, the injury report when that comes out, hopefully later today, the first one at least. I don't know whether Sims is going to have been cleared to play or not, but I think we need a bigger tight end on the, you know, to get help with blocking. Because it's just an absolute nightmare with the Jets. You know, you got Muhammad Wilkerson, Leonard Williams. You know, he played pretty well last week. Quinton Coples got David Harris, Calvin Pace, and that's before you even get to the secondary with, you know, Darrell Revis. Even Marcus Gilchrist had a good game last week against the Eagles.
Yeah,
it's there are a lot of pieces on that defense, and it's going to be really difficult. We need to establish the run first and foremost. But, you know, how do you do that behind this O-line? I can't see that there's an actual solution. If there was, then, you know, I think I could easily step in as a coach up there. But it's not going to be easy at all. I think we need to obviously get Tannehill on some rollouts. We need to establish a run. And I think Jonas Gray might come in and be a starter, probably start more, have more snaps than Miller, because he's got more power to him. Miller seems to, you know, wait for the hole, which isn't going to be there. He'll try and dance to the outside and we'll lose 2 or 3 yards. So Jonas Gray seems to sort of have that mentality where, you know, there isn't a hole there, I'm going to try and make one, and he'll actually try and pound it up the line for, you know, a couple of yards. But if we don't stick to that some semblance of a run game, we're out of it from the start.
Yeah, but it's impossible to run the ball, and this is where I'm going to go back to the coaching issue and the play calling issue. When you can't run the ball from an empty backfield, and when you're going empty backfield that much, you don't have any kind of play action ability. You don't have any ability to put in extra protection for Tannehill. You are telling the defense, oh, they're throwing the ball. I don't have any play action to react against. I get that it's exciting once in a while, here and there, but to continuously just spread it out. This is not college. This is pros. You're just making your receivers. See, in college, when you're a good team, you've got receivers that are going to just blow by and destroy their matchup. They just are, period. Even as good a receiving core as the Miami has, that is not always going to be the case in the NFL. You're not always going to beat your man. You're just not going to. But when you empty the backfield, that's what you're saying. Just beat your man. You got to beat your man. Well, you know what? That doesn't always work in the NFL. Even if you're a good team with good receivers like Miami playing against a secondary that has question marks, it's not always going to happen. So you're taking away so much of the play calling and the ability to do play action. Of course, play action doesn't work if you're not running the ball anyway, but at least if you have a back there, you have some semblance of play action. And I'm not buying into what Lazor's doing. And the funny part is I see him continue to do it. And I have a feeling this coming Sunday, it's not going to be any different. It's going to be the same story.
Yeah. I mean, I think I saw somewhere with even first down Lazor's schemes, we seem to be passing 75% of the time, which, if it's true, that's completely crazy.
I mean, just my eyeball test, I haven't actually seen the numbers, but watching the games, it looks about right to me.
Yeah, I think it probably is. And that's Philbin's coaching, that's Lazor's scheme, where they want to be one of these more of a finesse teams where they think, you know, we've got the pieces. Tannehill, I'm a supporter of Tannehill. I think he's got what it takes to actually, you know, get things done.
I do, but too. I agree with you on that.
Behind that O-line, that's just not going to happen. And I think for Miami fans, it's easy to go back to just the go-to excuse where it's like, oh, our quarterback sucks.
No, that's not true in this case. There's so much else going on right now.
You know, our offensive line may as well just be like made of breadsticks. It's like people can just walk straight through it. So without any protection, what's Tannehill going to do? He's going to, yeah, we've got great receivers, try and get them the ball, but we need a bigger receiver. Like, for instance, we're playing the Jets. Jets have got Brandon Marshall. Marshall's a big guy. He can defend. He can defend corners with his body. He can turn. He can pull. He'll fight for the ball. Outside of Devontae Parker, we don't really have that. And Devontae Parker's not, well, he probably should be on the field, but he's not probably not ready to play in terms of his, you know, he's probably a bit behind with learning the scheme, having been injured all of the offseason with the foot injury. But he, when he's ready, he can probably get at least some of those jump balls. You know, it's 50-50 balls. He'll be able to fight for them, and that's what we will need, because Tannehill's not going to have time in the pocket or running for his life to try and, you know, get it downfield. He's going to have to just sling it up there, and somebody's going to have to make a play for it.
Yeah, they played with that fade in the end zone in the corners probably about, I don't know, four or five times last week, just when the game was over. And they couldn't connect on any of it. Now, some of that is that's not really Tannehill's best throw. He looks awkward throwing that pass, and we don't really see him throw it very often. That's part of why. Parker and him obviously aren't even close to the same page yet. He's really barely gotten to play with him. So let's see how that develops. I don't know, based off the lack of success they had last week, that's something they'll try when the game's close. You'll see it again if a game gets away either side, whether we were to blow out a team, which I don't know if that would happen at all this year, or we get blown out, which may happen a lot. You'll see them kind of attempt to make that connection, to have that ability to do that. It's just not quite there yet.
Yeah, at the same time, you can't force it, though, because obviously, you know, if they force it, you're not going to get that chemistry. You'll get people at each other's throats if people aren't getting the ball, aren't catching the ball. It's not going to do anything for them long term if you kind of try and force that chemistry between them. It was quite interesting to see that Rishard Matthews is now the starter over Kenny Stills.
Oh, that's not interesting to me. That's the way it should have been from the beginning.
That's my opinion. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Why wasn't it like that from the start? Because it's clear, I think, even through the offseason, through preseason, Kenny Stills wasn't doing anything. But, you know, it's taken until getting to week four to have Rishard Matthews actually as a starter when he's been pretty much our most productive wide receiver. You know, Landry's got that fight in him. Landry's going to fight for every single yard. You can't criticize him. I know that one of the picks last week, he kind of bobbled the ball. He got snatched out of the air. It happens. Always seems to happen to the Dolphins, but it happens. But Matthews, yeah, he's looked good. And it, hopefully, if he gets a bit more confidence, then, you know, he'll make plays for the ball that we need wide receivers to make. But, you know, having it two tight ends, and I know that's a problem that you've had with this team.
Yes.
Two tight ends, that is a problem. You know, you've got Sins out with the concussion, Jordan Cameron with the groin injury. You know, Stoneburner, great, he caught a touchdown for us, but we need a tight end to actually be there physically to help blocking in the run game. We need to jam people at the line of scrimmage. We need a functioning tight end, and Jordan Cameron isn't the best blocker. He can get down the field, but you know, we've got playmakers, but we need them to actually get out and make the plays. And I know that's kind of the excuse that coaches have come back going, oh, we just need to play better, we need to execute better. But
I see some of that. I mean, the reason you get blown out is because you did a lot of things wrong, granted.
Oh yeah.
But I gotta be honest with you, I feel like I can point more to, why did you call that play there? Why is that an empty backfield? Why do you keep running to the outside and not to the inside? And I think most of those outside zone runs are called, as opposed to running more of an inside zone. It seems that way to me. Last year, I thought I saw us doing that a lot. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I mean, I'm just going with my eyeballs.
No,
I'm not a professional, but it seemed to me last year I saw a lot of them running inside, and they're a zone team, so they're running inside a lot. That's the called play, or the zone, you're kind of looking to see where the hole is opening up. It's not, we're making a hole in this spot, run there. But it seems this year they're not, that's not how they're trying to open it up. They're trying to open it up on the outside. I saw it during the scrimmage a lot too, and I liked it because it seemed successful, but it was successful against our run defense, which we, at the time, we thought was going to be amazing, and it's crap. So we see it's not successful right now against the other teams in the NFL. It's not working. I'd like them to go back to some of the things they were doing last year that were more successful, that let us get to the red zone more than any other team in the NFL, because right now we're just not successful at much, honestly.
No, I know. I can't really imagine how so many problems will come about at the same time. But, you know, traditionally we've been able to sort of fall back on our defense, and, you know, Miami always had a really good defense, and we thought it could keep us in games. But this year it's just, there's problems all over the place.
You can't point to an area where there isn't problems right now. But and to me, that's a big coaching issue, in my opinion. But how could we win this game though? Like, is it just gonna have to be, we gotta play better, we gotta scheme better? Or, I mean, is there any weak? I wonder if there's any weaknesses of the Jets that we're missing.
Weaknesses,
I know they got down pretty quick in that game against Philly, and Philly had struggled up to this point. But
I mean, I
don't know what to believe right now.
Yeah, going back to turnovers would be the key. But, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick isn't, you know, he's not Aaron Rodgers. He could throw a few picks if we can get pressure on him, especially now. Like, the guard position for both guards, left and right, for the Jets, I think that's going to be a weakness on their O-line. I think they're on their backup guards, at least at right guard, I think, is it Brian Winters, who hopefully will be able to get a bit of pressure through him. But, you know, they've got a good secondary. It's just if we can force Fitzpatrick into some mistakes. We know we've got players like Rashard Jones and Brent Grimes, both of whom have come out and they're ready to play this season. Rashard Jones is more so. He's been on fire, really.
Yeah, he's been great. So, he's been one of the few bright spots of this team so far.
We can't really count on linebackers to do much, but you've got to think that at some point, someone who's as experienced, you know, plays a violent position like Ndamukong Suh and Cameron Wake, that they will be a little bit fed up. They'll be a bit peeved that we're losing, and they'll get there eventually. I thought that last week.
I thought that last week, and honestly, it just got worse, not better.
I don't want to think that. I don't want to admit the fact that I'm going into this game on Sunday and we're going to get blown out. So I'm trying to cling on to a little bit of hope that I can go and watch them win on Sunday.
I'm kind of thinking that the coaches are finally, after three games, realize, okay, guys, what I'm doing, what I'm calling on both sides aren't working. Kevin Coyle is going to realize, all right, whatever they come up with the scheme around our D-line, I have to have a quick reaction to it. That's number one. And Lazor needs to realize, okay, I can't go with all this empty backfield so much. I need to run the ball more. I need to do some different things that the Jets have not seen us do yet. I think all those are key. And then the players need to look at themselves in the mirror, realize, yes, I need to play way better. I'm just nervous that this team does not trust this coaching staff, and that's really where the root of all this is happening. And that, for me, that's just like a cancer. That's only going to get worse. That's not going to get better if that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, are we going to just be going back to the negative on this team? I think you can't help it. It's just kind of, it's just where we're at. But you've got to imagine that the problems, I mean, you hear these reports of like Ndamukong Suh freelancing, which I know that's been sort of disproved through various other reporters have said, you know, they watch the tape and they can't see that he was sort of going out on his own. But yeah, you know, he has the talent to do it. But you can sense that there is this frustration in the locker room. You know that there are already reports, which players are going to be aware of, you know, fan base has no faith in their coaches whatsoever. The players, again, have been questioning the complexity of the defensive schemes. The coaches have been saying, okay, we're going to dumb it down, but, you know, implying that, oh, you guys aren't smart enough to pick up this scheme. We're dumbing it down. There is loads of sources for tension within the locker room between the coaches and staff, between players and coaches. And it's just, you can sense that what we actually hear out as fans and what you hear out in public is just the tip of the iceberg here. And you can tell, and you're going to know that Stephen Ross is, as much as he is sort of like a polarizing figure, some people seem to love him in that he's putting all this money into the stadium, he's doing what's best. Everyone else kind of thinks he's an incompetent buffoon. But you can sense that he's going to be annoyed. And I wouldn't be completely surprised that if we get blown out at Wembley, that, you know, by the time the plane lands back in Miami, that he's not the coach of that Philbin's not the coach of the Dolphins anymore. Same thing happened with Dennis Allen last year after the Dolphins Raiders game when we crushed them in Wembley. Mm-hmm. Dennis Allen was fired before the plane even landed. So
yeah, that is true. I mean, that's a Raiders thing though. They love to fire their coaches. that's what they do best.
Yeah, one of the things that was quite interesting. I mean, you said it on the last podcast, was about whether Miami can ever have a disciplined team, like whether Miami is just too much of a temptation for people, players. You know, they come, they get paid, they want to relax on the beach.
I question the free agents' motives, most NFL free agents' motives of why they come to Miami. I don't think they come to Miami to win. I think they come to play the football and live the lifestyle, but they don't come to win. I think it's becoming a serious problem that we keep on having to rely on free agency to build our team in some ways. And I've said before, and I still say, this team is still more built through the draft, but man, we're starting to see that building isn't as stable as we thought right now. I'm getting nervous about that. Yeah, it's just an observation I'm making. I could be way off on that. I think more time will tell, but
I agree with you. I've said that for a few years. I've kind of thought, you know, Miami, players do want to go there. They want to enjoy the lifestyle. Can, you know, you look at a place like Green Bay, what's in Green Bay other than like snow and football? You know, you've got, they can get things done. And, you know, they've got great GM, they've got great coaching staff. It helps having Aaron Rodgers. But is there, I don't think you can entirely inaccurate by saying that, is there something in Miami that it attracts the big free agents, it attracts the big money? There is a circus behind it, which you touched on last week, talking about, you know, Ross bringing in all these celebrity owners. It just doesn't, there's something about this team that kind of feels that there's some, still that continuing circus going around it.
Yeah, I agree. And I like, if you're right, if you go to Green Bay, I mean, if you go, even if you go to Cleveland or something like that, I mean, yeah, they're giving you a contract, they're giving you the money, but if you were to choose Green Bay, for instance, Randall Cobb gave up a little bit of money, he got paid a little less than he would have with what Miami offered him, and he decided to stay in Green Bay. That was mostly for his career, but mostly he wants to win. He wants to be, he is there to win, and he's not there to go play around and kick it back on the beach. Now, if you can get that guy to come to Miami, that's fine, but then you question his motives as to why he's really here. It's just something I'm noticing over the past 5-6 years. It seems to be a bad trend. I hope that we can get the right organization in here to turn this trend around, or the current organization can figure it a way to turn it around, but I'm getting nervous for the long-term stability of this team right now. I yeah. really am based on the current trends.
But hopefully, you know, this week, hopefully we can be more like last year at Wembley. You know, last year it was the same week when Philbin wasn't going to sort of endorse Tannehill as the starting quarterback, and there was all that controversy before.
Yeah, and I don't even know what that was about, but I do recall that going into
that
the Rangers game.
Bad management. But, you know, hopefully this week they'll at least the players will have kicked themselves into gear if the coaches can't do it for them. And, you know, Wembley will be loud. There'll be a lot of people supporting the Jets. Hopefully we can avoid those Jets chants and at least get people to, just shut up and we'll get people loud for the Dolphins. So we'll be there supporting them. We'll see if we can at least give them a bit more support and get them a win.
Yeah. The Dolphins have played well in the UK. The last few games, for sure.
They didn't when they came and played the Giants.
Yeah. No, well, that was 07. I mean, we didn't play anybody well, then.
No.
That's for sure. Anything else you'd like to talk about? Anything about the game? Anything about just the excitement of it in the UK? Anything at all?
Oh, the excitement's huge. Like I say, these tickets, we got them in January. You can sense that it's building already. So if you look at Regent Street now, I mean, Regent Street won't be familiar to you guys, but like I said, it's one of the big shopping streets in London. It's huge. They've got all the NFL banners. They've got all the flags. They've got everything sort of decked out ready for the games, because we've got the games over here now for the next sort of month. Finishing up in first weekend of November with the Bills-Jaguars game. So, you know, this one is the first one for this season. Excitement for us is huge. We'll be there trying to make sure everyone else is equally as pumped. And, yeah, it's going to be good. So, you know, people, if there's any guys coming over from Miami listening to this before the show, then feel free to come over and say hi to us. We're probably not going to be that difficult to see. So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. I would like to be more confident that we can get a win, but I think with a division game like this against the Jets, I think we probably have more of a chance than we did against Buffalo. You know, especially with Rex has pretty much always had our number when he was in recent years at the Jets, and going to Buffalo where I think he's got probably an even better defense. Then I think he was going to outcoach us regardless. Someone like Todd Bowles, yeah, he's familiar. He really obviously coached the Dolphins before.
Yeah, he was actually, officially, unofficially, the last coach before Philbin.
Yeah, he was our interim coach, wasn't he?
Yes, he was after Sperano was fired.
But he's not going to be as familiar with the schemes that we have now. But I think
no, it's not going to be even about that. It's all motion and pride at this point.
Exactly. It's not going to be Buffalo where, you know, they had Charles Clay, they had Richie Incognito, big games for those guys.
And Chris Hogan, of course.
Chris Hogan, 7-Eleven. He was there.
He was open.
he was absolutely right. He was open. I think that we've got more of a chance against the Jets than we probably did have against the Bills. But I don't want us to come out and have that same look as completely flatlined as we did against Buffalo. I've got I think there's a chance we can win if we can pull things together slightly. I think the Jets do have some weaknesses on the offensive line that would give us a little bit of a promise for some of the D-line guys. But as to whether it actually works, we'll have to wait and see on Sunday.
Yeah, one thing I can say is if one player I feel could come out mad, angry, on fire, and really wanting to it's Tannehill. He's the one I could see that I still have some faith in, that he may come out just real ticked off and wanting to redeem himself from the previous game. And perhaps this is a game that if we did win, we do it on the back of Tannehill.
It would be a big game for him to sort of step up and put the team on his shoulders, which I think has been one of the criticisms of him. You know, people saying that, reporters especially in the media saying he has improved, but can he carry the team on his shoulders? You know, he probably could do that, but he still needs time. Like, you know, if you've got that O-line, if they're still letting guys through like a turnstile, it's not going to happen. He needs to buy some time with his feet. And we actually saw, I think last week showed some big improvement in that, actually avoiding pressure. You know, he did have a couple of they had a couple of sacks. There was the strip sacks. There was the interceptions. But I think there were a couple of occasions where he did kind of step forward, move out of the pressure a little bit better than he has done in year in like previous years.
Yeah, I think this year he's done a little better job. That I've seen a he little has, bit more yeah. awareness from him. Yeah, I know some might disagree from the performance of last week, but I still, if you sit there and watch it, I still think that he's made improvements and gotten better on the awareness piece and his I won't say deep ball, but throwing further downfield and more vertical, even though it was a lot tougher in this game than it had been the previous two. He's improved on all those things, but he just, the other guys, most of the other guys around him, everyone is just so off right now.
Yeah, it's weird being a Miami fan and actually looking at the quarterback and thinking that that isn't the problem.
No, it isn't. I mean, I'm sorry. Anybody can disagree me if you want to disagree with me. I'm telling you right now, that is not the problem.
I agree. Everything is crumbling around him, which is a big surprise. But, you know, the coaches keep promising they'll get it fixed. I don't have a great deal of faith that they will, but I'm gonna hold out some hope for Sunday and see what we can do Sunday, see if we can get a win.
Well, I think that these offensive coordinators know that their job's on the line because their head coach is on the line. So if your head coach goes, you're not far behind, whether that's at the end of the season or, well, you know, the coordinators are going to get fired in mid-season. So even if Philbin was fired tomorrow, you know, the coordinators stay around. But once Philbin's gone, you just know, hey, this is it. I'm fired after the end of the season, regardless of what we do. So they better start doing a better job. They really better. They're going to get fired.
I think the only you were talking about on the last show, if who would come in if Philbin got fired, and I would say I'd probably vote for Dan Campbell, the tight ends coach.
I thought about him because I really like him. I just don't know that he has enough experience to coach a team, but I like him a lot.
He can get angry. I think he was on Hard Knocks when they had the Dolphins on Hard Knocks. He's got a bit of fire to him, so I think he'd at least kick a few players into gear if they're not. Trying as hard as they can, and that's what Philbin completely lacks. He appears to completely lack any sort of motivation for the players, which is that rubbing off on them this season? Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a bad thing. We keep on trying to replace these guys that are anti-Philbin, anti-Tannehill with other guys, and we keep on getting guys that are at least anti-Philbin, it seems. I just had this feeling that Sue has zero respect for Philbin, zero. Yeah, that is so rubbing off on the rest of the players that behind closed doors they're secretly talking. They don't trust this guy. They don't like this guy. I just know those are the conversations going on, and it's really affecting the team right now. You know, they're kind of putting their own careers in their hands to do that too, but some of them it's not as big a risk as for others. So for those of them that, I mean, they need to get away from this talk and just play hard football. You really need to do that. I don't know what else to tell these guys, but you know, you put that stuff behind you and play and as hard as you can and just do what you're supposed to do. Even if you don't think it's the right thing to do, do it. I mean, you can't sit there and tell me, and I've heard this my whole life, you can't tell me that this is the wrong thing to do if you haven't actually done it yet. I mean, that's just a fact. You can't tell me you don't like those mashed potatoes if you've never tried them. I mean, it's just bottom line. And that's kind of feels like where this team is at. You haven't even tried to execute the way you're supposed to, but you say, oh, no, this scheme, all this stuff, which we see some bad play calling, yes, but if you got to at least try and execute what they're doing. If you don't even execute it, who cares if it's bad or not? It's not going to work either way. So it's just a combination all the way around. Just so many things going wrong right now. It's insane. I cannot believe that's where we are after three games. Cannot believe it.
Not at all. I mean, I was always a Philbin supporter. Like in the past few years, I've kind of said to people, yeah, Philbin comes across as a bit quiet. He looks like he might not be able to motivate people, but I kind of thought that behind doors, we'd give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, stability in a franchise is huge. I think it's absolutely huge. You look at places like New England, you've got a coach who is developed. Bill Belichick didn't have great success, you know, previously at Cleveland.
No.
But he's kind of come into his own as a coach. And I thought, you know, we've got Philbin coming in from Green Bay as the offensive coordinator there, and he probably could take some of those skills. He could develop into his role as a head coach, some stability, let him build his own staff, and the Dolphins could have some long-term success. And I really didn't want to see them push like reset button on the franchise again and just go through another period of rebuilding where you're going to get different relationships. You know, you've got Tannehill now down to the big long extension, 6-year extension. You've got these players that, and you got good players in place, but you know, except for maybe linebackers and O-line,
yes. And a couple corners, you know, a couple DBs.
You need to be able to scheme out of these weaknesses and get the team moving.
We can't even scheme into our strengths. That's the problem this year. You can't even scheme correctly towards your strengths, much less scheme out of your weaknesses.
No.
That's been the way it's going.
At least try and cover them to some extent, but there seems to be no effort to cover what the weaknesses are. No, and you haven't got the ability to scheme to your strength because, you know, when I look at it, I think that Tannehill is a strength of the team. And the receivers are a strength of the team. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when he's got no time to pass, he's got no protection, then you're going to have to look for a strength elsewhere, and we don't have it.
There is no elsewhere now for us.
No, absolutely.
All right, man, anything you'd like to plug? Mention your Instagram, Twitter again before we wrap up?
Yeah, so we're at FinTroopers on Instagram and Twitter. The website is under construction. It should be up in a couple of months or so. But, you know, you follow us if you want to get involved with some NFL chat, if you want to see some pictures from the London games, the America games, like I said, we'll be out there for MetLife Takeover in New York. So we'll go and see them play the Jets again later in November. Feel free to get involved, give us, get in contact, and we'll just, enjoy it. Let's go Fins.
All right. And as for me, you know, I'm Ron. You can follow me at UnsquishTheFish or email me at unsquishthefish@gmail.com. And I appreciate everybody listening. I know that the vibe is not super positive right now from me or from most fans. But honestly, if we could figure out a way to turn this around this week and get this win, it could really turn our season around. We'd be 2-2 if we could figure out our way out of some of these problems. So let's be hopeful. Let's hope that being in London is a good thing for this team. Get away from South Florida for a little bit. Fins up, everybody. Thanks for listening and have a great day.